a real good buddy of mine's, Hector Lefebvre, introduced me to the Shotokan school in about 2009, I'd say 2010.
Okay, okay. So with your history with the martial arts, have you ever tried to like do anything different, like kung fu or anything like that, or are you all considered the same?
Yeah, just mostly karate and combat type of training, defensive tactics type training, a little bit of Tai Chi.
Okay. Okay, great. So let me ask you a question now. You say you've been in the martial arts. Did you started in 2009 until present, or did you start even younger and you got off of it for a little while and came back to it? Is that the way that happened?
Yeah, I started when I was younger, in high school, doing a little bit of Taekwondo. And then through the years... I did it again with one of my daughters. As she started training and going through the belts in Taekwondo, she was studying and got all the way, I believe, to her brown belt till she got injured and wasn't able to continue. And then again, I started up again in 2009.
Okay, okay.
More serious.
What do you like most about the martial arts? Do you like the combat? Do you like the weapons? Or do you like the kata?
Well, I'm getting older, so I like learning the skills that keep me on my toes if I ever need to defend myself. But I like doing the katas. I like weapons, and I just like training, overall training.
Okay, well, very good. So now, in the martial arts, have you ever had an opportunity or have you ever came across a situation that you had to use anything you learned? As far as in your Shotokan or in your defensive tactics or anything like that?
Well, I have used a little bit of the Shotokan when I was a correctional officer. And sometimes you're not, in different situations portray themselves in a certain way. And I think some of my karate training has helped where you become, it's like firing your weapon, where it's muscle memory. And so certain situations where I've had to defend myself, I know I've used some Shotokan and has helped me out a lot.
Oh, great, great. So, in today's society, do you believe that martial arts are important with today's, the way the kids are today, and, with so many other things they can be doing? Where do you see martial arts in society today?
Well, I think martial arts is plays a big factor with the young kids today, even more, because seems like the new generations have lost their respect for a lot of things. And I know martial arts, that's the first thing that we teach, is the respect and courtesy, along with the defending yourself in a bad situation. But I really think today's kids need that respect. For themselves, their family, their friends, and start respecting each other versus some of the things they're doing right now.
It's kind of interesting. I have people come, parents bring their children in to teach the martial arts to them, but the whole aspect of them, they're bringing them in because they need discipline. And, I never had that worry when I was coming up with my mother and father about the discipline thing, yeah. So I don't know what it's like, the new generation of parents coming up, whether they're like trying to be friends with their kids, and you and I know that don't work. You can't be their buddy. You got to be their father. You got to be their mother. You can't be their pal,
yeah.
Because pals, they different like levels. So the whole journey with the martial arts is of self-expression and self-learning. You learn to be a better person. You learn to be a better father, a better brother, a brother, sister, a brother, mother, just learn to do better in life. Now, you say you've been practicing martial arts all these years, and you say you like forms. Is there any particular kata or form you like better?
Right now, I think my favorite has been, Basai Dai is one of my favorites.
Great kata.
I like to get to where I can do that instinctively, not even thinking about it.
Yeah, just like without just muscle memory, right?
Just muscle doing memory, it. Just doing it, flowing, and I just think it's a really nice kata. But a lot of the katas are really good katas.
You know, Banzai Dai is one of those katas that is a showcase for Shotokan because of the it's strong and a lot of things in it. You know, I'm finding also that with Shotokan in most major tournaments, they use a lot of Shotokan katas in tournaments. And now the Olympics is using a Shotokan kata called Sansai, one of the katas that they will be introducing into it, an Olympic-like kata, which is a beautiful kata, old kata, and now it's the rave. One time it was Joan, one time it was, you know, Kanku Dai, and now this kata is making itself out there in the public. And I think people are going to really like it. They're going to embrace that kata. It seems to have a lot of things in it. In your martial art journey, have you ever brought anybody with you in it, like any, like your sister or your son or your aunt or uncle or nephew or anyone? Have you ever been training with any of these people in your life?
Yeah, I've trained a lot with my family members. My son, actually, me and my youngest son started the Shotokan together back in 2010, 2009.
Okay.
He's since, going through school and graduation and age, and they tend to drift a little bit. But now he's starting wanting to come back and get back into doing Shotokan again,
which
is good.
Great.
My nephew and my nieces are wanting to also get into it. So I'm hoping this year and next year we're going to have a lot of family members involved. And even my fiance is saying that she would like to start learning.
That's nice.
Some Shotokan. So it's a really a good thing for the whole family. And it's a good activity. Other than being on the TV and video games all day long, and not so much for parents, but the kids.
For the kids. You know, when you have children that's taking a martial art with you, you know, it ain't child abuse when you throw a good punch and take them down. It's called practice, right?
Practice.
So you get, you know, family people out there, I'm just saying, you know, martial arts is a good thing for the whole family. And learning with your children and your relatives, it could be very rewarding. You know, you could talk about different things you've done. Do you like going to tournaments? Do you like participating in karate tournaments?
Oh yeah, I love the tournaments, and I like to participate. I want to get back more into getting into some tournaments. Also, I've done a little bit of the judging on the judging side, but I'd like to learn more and just participate more in tournaments and be able to be pretty well-rounded on both sides, you know, competing and then also being an official.
Okay, referee, judge.
And that type of stuff, because I like to work with the kids, so I like to see them, you know, I like to watch them do their katas and their forms and at all level ages, you know.
You know, when you say talking about your son doing martial arts, how did it make you feel when he first got that first stripe, that first belt and all of that? How did you feel watching his accomplishments? And did he talk to you about how he felt when you did yours and things like that?
Yeah, it was really, really awesome because he's never did it before. And, you know, when he got his first stripe on the white belt was a big deal for him, you know. And he just drove hard after that, and he liked competing, he liked getting trophies and medals. They love that kind of stuff, but it's also just a good way to make them feel good about themselves, you know. And I was real proud of him. I'm still proud of him. Man, he hasn't let it go, even though he's come a long way from 10 years old, you know. Now he's, you know, 21, and but he wants to continue, so I'm glad to see him do that.
Wow, that's great. Getting back in the dojo again, getting there sweating. I remember I took a break from martial arts for a couple years, and when I came back, it was like I never left it, but still it was a little bit more effort getting back into it. Now, you know, it's been a steady flow for me. So I always say karate is like hot water. You put a pot of water on the stove, it's hot, it's boiling and everything like that. And once you take that pot away from the stove, that hot water becomes cold. You got to heat it all over again. You know, I remember one time Sensei said, you know, doing karate is like putting an old-fashioned pump in the ground and pumping water. You know, you got to get it primed and all of that, then it's going. And once you stop pumping it after it started flowing and it stopped. You got to start that procedure all over again, getting it reprimed and get the flow going again. So it's better to stick with it and just follow through. You know, the older you get with martial arts, I think we find out that we can do other things. We don't have to be the best fighter in the dojo. We can be the smartest person in the dojo as far as movements and helping the kids to get better and things like that. Are you have any aspiration on teaching and things like that?
Yeah, I like to teach, and it's one of my things, even in my corrections. When I was a correction officer, I was an FTO, and I like training, and I want to be able to teach class, and I like to teach the younger kids.
Okay.
Eventually, we want to get our own school too, and yes, branch out. We want to continue and grow and make it a full time situation.
Okay, so you want to make this a full time thing, not just a part time.
Yeah, full time.
It's not really part time because you're doing it. I understand that. But what is the greatest situation. Part of?
Okay, so you want
what
to
is,
make.
What is the greatest? What is the greatest part of learning to you? The doing, the seeing, the remembering. It's different ways we learn.
Right. I'm more of a, I have to actually do it, feel it, touch it kind of learner. You know, so, I mean, you can explain things to me and I'll get it. But until I actually do it and do it repeatedly, then I retain it and I'm able to, teach it. So I like to, I'm a hands-on type of learner. So, I like to have it presented to me, but then I like to do it and then go through the motions of the actual process and then retain it.
Okay.
So I like to get my hands dirty. So.
Let me tell you something. I've learned that the weapon I've really adopted is the samurai sword. I love doing sword kata. I used to love the nunchucks, obviously, because of Bruce Lee. That's one of the things that I tell people that got me into it. And as I got older, I never got a chance to meet Bruce Lee, but I did get to meet the guy that fought with Bruce Lee in a speed contest, and he became my instructor. His name is Vic Moore. Here at our academy, at Henry Grace Martial Art Academy, if I didn't tell you, we're located at 2345 East Michigan. We love doing a variety of things. We teach kabuto. We teach self-defense. We do the katas, but we also love sparring. Our school is known very much for sparring. And it seems like, Dave, when you get into a dojo, now some dojos specialize in just kata, and they don't like the sparring aspect of it. How do you feel about kata opposed to sparring or weapons? How do you feel about these three aspects of the martial arts? How do each one of them kind of hit you? What are your relationship with that? Those disciplines.
Well, I really believe they all go hand in hand. You really need to learn the katas, learn the moves, the proper way to execute those moves, and then what the sparring gives you a chance to do is to practice with those things that you learned in the katas and in the class. So it's one thing is to just go through the motions and learn how to punch, learn how to kick, but you also need to recognize it, how to kick and how to punch when you're being attacked by somebody, and which movement you're going to use to block or kick or defend yourself. So the sparring is a great way to do that. So the more you spar, the better you get at watching how your opponents attack you, anticipating a kick or a punch, and letting your mind know, okay, well, I need a high block here, or I need to do this. So I really believe that it's full circle. You got to learn the katas, you got to spar, you got to practice on your own away from school. It really needs to be a daily thing, so it becomes second nature to you.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you, in the dojo, I love sparring. I love to see the kids sparring, especially the kids that come in who have been bullied, and they feel very shy. And one thing I learned with these kids, once you show them that they have so much strength inside, internal strength, that they don't have to fight, they can walk away from a fight. But if they have no other choice, they can defend themselves and then go get, you know, the teacher or the officer or the parent or whoever, you know, let them know that, you know, these people are, you know, picking on me or trying to fight with me and things like that. They become more confident and they go through life and they feel more better about themselves, about self-esteem. But I think sparring helps you do that. I used to tell my students when they first came in, you're going to have to spar because karate is learning to defend yourself, not only mentally, physically, and spiritually. It's learning to get out there and know how to block a punch, know how to evade a punch, know how to throw a kick, not to evade a kick, and also how to take a strike. You know, when you get hit, even if you block it, sometimes people, if they're not getting used to that contact, they block something, it hurts their hand, and they want to stop and, you know, ball up and let the person take advantage of them. You know, right, what I mean? Right. Have you seen anything like that?
Yes. You know, that's true for even adults. I mean, it's one thing to demonstrate that you're blocking somebody hitting you than when somebody actually hits you or you actually block a punch or a kick with your forearm or, let's say, your leg. And when you feel that impact, it's a little different, and people tend to be a little bit more apprehensive. But the more you do it, the better you get at it, and the better you are to, you know, defend yourself and realize what it takes to stop somebody from attacking you, and the force you need to repel back to them. So it's good to practice that stuff, and it's good to spar and get yourself, your body acclimated. Even little guys, you know, like you said, they, you know, somebody hits them and they want to ball up right away. Mm-hmm. But just practicing these movements, they learn that they can take those hits and even deliver one if they need to.
Yes.
Help themselves get away or get to a teacher.
Yes. And, you know, get somewhere and get to one of the adults or one of the people in charge to help them, you know, and then they can kind of ratify it. I think also the bullies need something like that. You need to get with them because there's obviously something going on in their life that makes them want to bully other people. What's the root, right, of that? You know, we still got to look at a lot of aspects. And martial art is one of those things where you can bring a person like that in to a dojo and change their whole mindset. Right. Get them thinking like, you know what, I don't have to be this way. People are not trying to hurt me. So I don't know what the whole mindset of why a bully is this way, but I know through the martial arts we can touch and change a lot of lives. One of the greatest things I've ever heard a martial artist say was that the greatest warrior doesn't have to lift one finger in combat. I was like, that just blew my mind. Well, how is that possible that, yeah, you know, someone's trying to hurt you and you don't even have to lift a finger?
Right.
But I knew after years and years it's about de-escalation, you know, talking, right, to the person, getting them to, you know, calm down. Sometimes all those things can be avoided, you know.
Right.
Now, as a correction officer, I'm sure you came across situations where you had to talk people down or maybe even been put in a situation where it's more of them than you, and the best recourse was to use your voice.
Correct. We, you know, when you work in the prison or the jail, you're not usually, you're always outnumbered. Sometimes it's 100-1. You know?
Wow. And that's a big number.
Yeah. And the only thing you have really is your verbal skills. So you have to be able to talk, say the right things. Bullies, like you were saying, bullies tend to put on a big show for everybody. They want everybody to see how powerful they are. And what they love is a person that just cowers and lets them bully. And I think that's the great thing about martial arts. Like young kids that learn to stand up for themselves, as soon as you stand up to the bully, he's going to back down because he's not getting that energy he wants from you, which is for you to cower and let him empower you.
Very well said.
He, you know, once you stand up and show him, listen, dude, I will put my hands on you as well, they'll tend to back away and go find somebody else that they can bully because they're not getting what they want. Or they might, you know, a lot of bullies are all talk, is what I've found out. You know, they really can't fight or they really can't, you know, they just like to intimidate people. And then when they're confronted with the realization that they're about to feel some pain, they tend to back down and leave you alone. And that's what's great for kids, is letting them stand up, like you were saying, stand up at least enough to where they can get to a teacher or a friend or someone that can help them even the odds out. So, you know, verbal skills are always the best because, you know, when you're outnumbered, you have to be, like, extremely well versified to get out of that situation. But most of the time, it's really not a fair number, or you never know if weapons are involved or whatever, so you don't know what to expect. So.
Okay, well, I got some other things I want to talk to you about. Like, I'm going to talk about tournaments right now, okay? I see a lot of different tournaments going on. I see the open type of tournaments. I see the traditional type of tournaments where everybody's in a white gi and they got traditional weapons, kabuto, you know, the round bows instead of the toothpick-like bows, you know, nice swords instead of like the aluminum ones they can just toss up and catch and things like that. And they have more of that traditional thing. And then I see the musical kind of open tournaments and the athletes that's in those kind of events. I've seen them do some remarkable things, some things that I were like, wow, I wish I could do a flip like that or something like that, you know, and the kids watch it. So do you think one is more show or is they both as effective in a situation where you may have to defend yourself?
Yeah, I think me, just from experience and working in the prison system for so many years, the traditional fighting is, I think, is more effective than some of these guys that are to do all this acrobatic type things. And I think some of those tournaments are great. They're just, there's everything's so diverse now. You have every type of style and weapons, and you know they use a lot of those staffs that are aluminum, like you were saying. They could spin them and throw them up in the air and all that, but if you actually probably try to hit somebody, it would probably just bust in half. I don't think, you know, unless you know, it depends on what it's made of, but I think a traditional staff is going to be a better weapon, just a good old solid piece of wood that can defend you off of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And you know, I really think that traditional style fighting is always more effective than some of the new stuff is nice to see. It looks really good in competition, I think, but in real life, I'm not sure if it would hold itself. It would have to be a different type of fighter, I guess. Maybe he's versed in a lot of styles.
Maybe he's versed in a lot of styles, yeah, and things like that. But I do know that it's like I went to a the Martial Arts Super Show out in Las Vegas. And I was sitting there. They had some classes on how to build your dojo, you know, better your dojo. And the guys, the traditional guys, were all raising their hands when they said, who need help in building a dojo? All of you, me included, traditional guys, we're throwing our hands up like, hey, man, yeah, you know, what's going on? And then he asked the Taekwondo people and stuff like that, and how are you guys doing? They like, oh man, we're doing great. We're doing great. So I said, well, what's the difference? You know, these some programs of kids are geared to learning things that fascinates them. They want to see like Mortal Kombat kind of stuff. That whether it's actual or factual or realistic or whatever, they like to flash the kind of more of a martial arts. You know, today I think it's a place for all of that, for entertainment, and the kid want to come in dojo night and have some fun, like lightsaber night or whatever, you do some things in there. But sticking to the basics is always going to be a better call. I know I probably get some controversy out there from people, and I can't wait. A couple more weeks from now, we're going to be able to take calls from you guys, and you can call in and voice your opinion, and hopefully I can have Mr. Negron or Sensei Negron back here, and we can answer some questions for you guys. We might even have to tag team you to get you up off of us. You know what I mean? But how do you feel that to build a martial art program, you may have to do some things like a little bit more eclectic than you would like to, you know, than that? Because some people can't keep the doors open. The traditionists, a lot of them have a problem keeping their doors open with just basic learning tradition from basic karate as it was taught years and years ago. These new kind of like schools are doing a lot more stuff, you know, and they're being able to have more retention. So as you think, is it just reaching out to the younger ones, having more younger kids in there? Or do you think, like the adults that take up the martial arts and learn them, is it a place for them too?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot the younger, newer generations of kids right now, they're just, they're so tech savvy. Everything's, you know, mm-hmm. everything's like right now and fast. And
right now
the,
fast.
Some of the schools are like that. When and they're, you know, they cater to those type of kids' needs and stuff. And but I think it's a balance, maybe. You know, traditional schools are obviously a little bit more serious and a little bit more intense. Some of the new schools, I'm not taking away from them, I'm sure they're intense and that as well, but they just, it's a different type of training, mm-hmm. a different group of kids. You know, even even our kids sometimes, you know, they need some type of outlet,
yeah,
other than the traditional way, because they're just, it's just that their generation is how they learn, I guess. And we are old school, so, you know, we learn the katas, we practice the katas in the dojo. We go home and you practice. A lot right. of kids go home and they go right onto the Nintendo. So, yeah. you know, they need something that they could do at home that incorporates maybe their training. And I don't know what that is, because it's just a whole new groove yeah. for these guys. But
something came up that's very interesting, Dave. They want to put karate in the Olympics for 2020. And it's a big push, and it's, you know, they got the U.S. team ready to go, and they got this and that ready to go. How do you see karate faring right alongside Olympic taekwondo? How do you see? It's interesting to me to see how the karate is going to stand up with the taekwondo, because they've been doing so much flash and so much, you know, all this different things. Karate going to come in, and I'm wondering, is it going to stay there because of the martial artists? They want karate to be known as a way of life other than just a sport.
Right.
So how do you see that? Do you think it's going to stay a part of the Olympics, or you think it's just going to be quick in and out of there?
Yeah, I don't really foresee the karate staying as an event, just because the way the Olympics is, it's everything's tournament based and qualifying. You got to qualify for this in order to go to this, and then once you get to this level, you got to qualify there to go to the Olympic level. And you know, I don't know if there's that many karate tournaments or qualifiers out there that, you know, that can compete with the taekwondo. They've been doing it for years. They have their set in their ways about, you know, the nationals and this and that. You know, I was looking at it one time. It's funny that you mentioned it, because I was seeing that you had to win two different events just to qualify to see if you could get into on the team. You had to qualify for two major events, but they're only taekwondo sanctioned events.
Okay.
They're not just, you have to be a black belt in taekwondo. You can't just come from a karate and just jump in there. I'm hoping they change in that, but when I was looking into it, it was, you know, you had to be a you had to hold a belt in taekwondo.
Okay, I've looked into it a little bit more. I've seen that now they have a U.S. karate team, and they have different qualifiers. I think the next qualifier for them is a Pan Am game to be part of the U.S. team, and some of the athletes, I can't recall all their names offhand, but I know it's a handful of athletes that's already have made the U.S. team, and now they got to go and compete in the Pan Am Games. Then after that, it may be one other thing that they have to go to do to be a part, to being on the team that goes to the Olympics. Now, I don't know when they finally picked a team, or if they have picked a team. You guys, please feel free to call 407-577-8218. And let me know this, that they are going to be going, will they be going to like where they go to Colorado and train or something like that? Or would it be another spot, New York, or would it be somewhere else that then train as a group together and then get ready to participate against these other athletes that's doing maybe team kata, team fighting, board breaking, whatever, for just a karate segment, not the Taekwondo, or are they going to mix them all together? It's going to be really interesting, but I think Taekwondo is going to stay separate because of the history between Korean and the Japanese. I really do. I think they're going to keep it totally separate. Do you have a favorite technique?
I like to use my, as I'm getting older, my kicks are not as high as they used to be. But I think it's adapting. I like to be able to, throw a good punch as well as block really well, mm-hmm. Most of the time when I in the jail, that's what you really was using, things that were blocking your head or left or right. I like blocking and punching, punching techniques that they usually work well for me in like real life situations. In the dojo, I like it all, punching, kicking.
Well, I have a favorite technique I like. I love my Jakazuki. I love my reverse punch. I like to do Kinazuki. I like to do a jab, but I like to follow it up with a reverse punch. And I'm learning that the front kick and the roundhouse combination are very effective. And, timing is everything.
Yeah.
So in timing, that's what I mean about sparring. If you get in there and you spar a lot, you learn to get good sparring timing. But if you don't spar a lot and you go into sparring, sometimes it can be quite a painful if you get the right person that is motivated in front of you, and they have been sparring a lot more. Like with anything else, I think you have to take it in moderation. Sparring, kata, weapons, have to attack all three aspects of it. My technique is the Jakazuki. I love to do a reverse punch. That shows my Shotokan training because I like to sweep you and punch you. I want you to, my goodness, I want to be real close, up close and personal with you and follow through with a technique. Swords, like I said, again, I like those. I'm trying to get more into the kama. It's kind of taking me a little bit to really understand it and to manipulate it. But I'm doing fairly well with it, not as good as a sword. Nunchucks, I could do those easily. So if you had a favorite weapon, which one would you pick up?
I like the sword also. I want to get more proficient with the sword. I like the tradition behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like the tradition behind it. So the sword, mostly just want to get better with it. And
okay. I like the Japanese sword opposed to the samurai sword. I think it just was made really well. The samurai sword, I think, is just really good. The ninjutsu sword, that's what I'm saying. I like the samurai sword over the ninjutsu sword. Because the ninjutsu sword is shorter, and it can be used quicker. That is one thing for it. It could be used as a very fast attack, but a good samurai sword. Oh my goodness, man! To see them use it efficiently doing their cutting, I don't think a sword fight don't have to be very long. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm like you. I like to be close quarter. I think that's just that's a correctional habit. Everything's so close quarter. So, I don't need the long sword. I'd rather have short, baton style type of sword.
Yes.
And, getting close.
What would be the advice that you would give to someone that's seeking to get into a martial art facility?
Well, they should go and try it out and see if they they like that style of fighting. And, you know, there's many styles out there. We already know Muay Thai and Kung Fu and Taekwondo, Shotokan, and you just got to find if you like that, and then, you know, get involved and, you know, at least go twice a week and see if that really, you know, your cup of tea. You know, if you don't, then you need to find maybe another style. Maybe it's a different type of style of fighting that mm-hmm. really gets you fired up. You know, because once you start doing it, it's like a bug. You get the bug, and it's like going to the gym. You know, when you start going to the gym and working out, then you want to go every day.
Yeah.
You know, you stop going, and then it's like starting all over.
Ooh, which is hard.
And martial arts is the same way, and boxing and wrestling, all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure it's that way with every sport. But, you know, if you stop and leave it alone for a while, it's so hard to get back, although you will get back, you know, especially if it's if you're doing it every day, you know. But, you know, martial arts is a little different than playing softball or football or basketball. You know, it's kind of a way of life, so it's pretty well rounded with your values and tradition and respect, discipline. So as long as you find a school that you really like, then go for it. Get involved.
Yeah, martial arts is one of the activities that you can learn that can actually save your life. It ain't like playing baseball where you hit a ball or, you know, catching a football or kicking a football. And in martial arts, you can learn an effective way to defend yourself and get in shape, meet new friends, have fun. Now, I had a guy talk to me about two different martial arts, and I'd like to see how you feel about it. One was the octagon in the ring, you know, cage fighting, you know, MMA, whatever title you give it. How do you feel about MMA?
Well, that MMA is, you know, it's one of those things. It's the new, it's the, you know, like the new thing on the block. New kids, even though it's not new, it's been around for a while, but it's so popularized now. And it's, there's a lot of great fighters in the MMA, but I think that they put this big facade on for money and to sell tickets, which is almost like wrestling, like the WWE, where, you know, they have the big weigh-ins and they showboat and you know, they act like they hate each other to death, and, you know, and then they fight. You know, I guess it has its place. Some of these guys are all wrestlers from college, you know, high school wrestlers, and then, you know, all of a sudden now they're an MMA fighter because they're doing the ground and pound and whatever. But it's not really just all martial arts, I don't believe. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of stuff. I still more traditionally like martial arts versus
the MMA.
MMA stuff.
Well, MMA, I've seen people that work in MMA. I know some MMA fighters personally. They train, some of them train really hard, and to them it's like, and they take pride in their craft. But with that being said, I really, really like the Muay Thai fighters.
Oh yeah, I like Muay Thai also.
They seem to get in there, and what they're doing is a little bit more, in my eyes, it's just my opinion, don't get mad at me, MMA guys, it's a little bit more structured and disciplined, because they're doing stand up, fighting up. Not that fights don't end up on the ground or end up in a wrestling situation, but it seemed like they put a little bit more discipline. It's a little bit more history behind Muay Thai and things like that. One day it may be a lot of history behind MMA also, you know, but the Muay Thai fighters, I seem to like to watch them. I haven't watched one in person. I've always seen it on television. But I'm looking for some tickets to go or somewhere to go and watch one in live and talk to one of the people. If anybody out there is into Muay Thai, please give me a call at 407-577-8218. And I will be so happy to have you on the show to talk about your craft. Also, MMA fighters, anyone out there that like to also talk to us and come in and voice your opinion on that also, we'll be glad to have you in the show up here, because it's all about the way learning different things. Today we've had with us David Negron, and he's a Shotokan practitioner. And David is one of those guys, I've seen him work out, he gives 110% and everything he's doing. He keeps saying, like, I'm getting older now, but if you get on the floor with him, you would think he's still a teenager. So don't let him fool you with that I'm getting older thing. I'm just telling you, get out there with him, you know, be serious. Don't play, because you might get caught sleeping like that, you know. Have you and your son ever, like, you know, since you've been practicing, they're like, hey, Dad, come on, I think I can take you, you know, fun, but, yeah, you know, sparring together and stuff like that, and, you know, have you had that kind of thing with him?
Yeah, he tried me a few times, you know, but he's grown really big and strong, so I got to be careful with him sometimes, because he's, just 21 years old, and he's loaded up to, you know. But he one thing karate has taught him, he has great respect for, yes, for me, his teachers, his, mm-hmm, friends, buddies, you know, that type of stuff. So it's not that he's out there bragging around. And I just think that, that this art form does a lot more than the combat side to it. So it's like I was saying, it's a lifestyle. It's teaches you a lot. You know, I have a lot of buddies that fight MMA. They're great guys, you know. Mm-hmm. They're good fighters. They train so hard. All the MMA guys, they train hard to try to get up into that elite top 10 of UFC. You know, those are the guys making ridiculous money. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the trenches doing MMA. Mm,
really good, yeah.
They train super hard there, you know. And guys in karate, too. There's, you know, everybody has their own little notch. And like I was saying, you just got to find what it is, mm-hmm, that's your notch, and get into it and do it, you know. So, learn as much as you can.
So what about the females? Do you think that the martial art plays a big part for them? Because, you know, at one point, I remember it was just all males in karate.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, females started getting in it. And would you recommend that for women to take part of a martial arts self-defense class?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of females now in martial arts. And as you know, females, they're more flexible than guys. They can, sometimes they kick, I think, better than guys. They kick so high up in the air. And their balance is way different. But, yeah, girls, I love the sayings. Like, you can see them all the time now. You know, I fight like a girl. You know, or kick like a girl, but females are—they're really good at martial arts, and it's good for them because they—you can defend themselves, against anybody that's trying to impose their will. We'll say
take advantage, stuff like that, yeah.
You know, things like that. So yeah, girls are awesome. And,
okay. Now this is something I think that might interest you. Is interesting to me. If you had to pick a martial artist through history, who would you most like to emulate or be like? Not exactly like them or take their place, but be in that kind of category of training.
I'm old school like you. I mean, we grew up with those guys, you know, Bruce Lee and Jim Wallace and, these guys, Chuck Norris, and those are all our martial arts superstars, you know, and, Jackie Chan, those kind of guys, you know. But there's a lot of guys, like, one guy that I really like is Michael Jai White.
Okay.
You know, I like him a lot. That guy knows several different styles of martial arts, and he's pretty impressive, you know. I like to watch him. But I'm like you, I'm a Bruce Lee fan. I always have been a Bruce Lee fan since I was a kid, you know, even though he's not around anymore, but, you know, he still has such an impact on everybody.
Yes.
You know, as soon as you start talking about karate or anything, immediately everybody goes to Bruce Lee, you know.
Yeah.
And but, you know, it's just different people.
I've found in my life person I would most like to be like is my sensei, Harold Jackson. Old sensei of when he came into my life and he talked to me and he encouraged me, and, you know, as far as martial arts was concerned. You know, that was one person that I said, if I could be more like, I would like to be like him. Was he a great Carter person with the flash and dash like some of these Carter people? No. Was he a great fighter, knocked out 100 people? I don't know that, but I know everybody he met, he had a great impact on him, and I've never seen him beat by anyone. But he never bragged about that. He was sensei. He was more like a father figure to me in the dojo and stuff like that. So, you know, and I'm seeing these days a lot of kids are getting away from that. You know, the kids are, they're like, I want to go to that school because they do that, and I want to be that way. I want to go to that school because they do that, and I want to be that way. They don't stick with their senseis as long as they used to, which is a shame because, you know, you find a sensei and he helps you get to a certain level, and then all of a sudden, you know, you seem to be thinking other people got more to offer you. I don't think that's the case. I think once you learn and get your black belt, you should be willing to go into the dojo and work really hard to share. There's nothing wrong with going to seminars and learning from other people and things like that. But I don't never think you should turn away from your dojo. I think you should be there the majority of your time and, you know, helping build that dojo up, especially if sensei helped you. I think we forget to come back.
Right.
And play it forward again.
Right.
You know, I got mine. I was up for them to get theirs. You know, that attitude seemed to be really popular these days with people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see some people go off, they become world champions and this, that, and the other. And I've talked to a person recently that told me that moved very high in the martial arts, and I asked me not to use their name, that if they had to do all over again, they wouldn't have took that route to go like they did. They would have stayed in the dojo with sensei and became more of a student and better informed with other students, which is, you know, surprising to me because I'm like, well, wow, you have reached this pinnacle. I mean, you like who's who. Yes, I am, but the same token, I kind of like, I believe he said he let his sensei down by walking away. It wasn't there as much as he could have and should have been. So that's something out there for you younger martial artists to think about, or you, some of you guys out there. You probably feel the same way. And in my life, I've learned this, Dave, that one thought is not only to you. Other people that had that similar thought and similar experiences, you know, that they really want to share. But sometimes it takes someone to bring it out for them to also say, you know what, that's a good point, you know.
Right.
Have you done any mentoring to any kids?
Yeah, I have a few, a couple. I try to mentor them, and I'm trying to bring a few into the dojo now, just to do that, in that exact thing, which is just mentor them. And there's so much going on right now in the world that you know, you gotta try to be a good influence on as many people as you can,
yes,
as many kids as you can, and you know, just like I said. What you said is, you know, stick with your school and, you know, you should never abandon your school. I believe that firmly, too. I believe that you need to stay with your school, with your instructor, stay with your family and then in the dojo. And you can branch out, but, you know, you got to stick with who taught you the ropes. And,
Yes. And
like you said, pay it forward.
I
really believe you'll be more successful that way. And
It may be a little harder road to take, but I think in the long run, you're going to go farther. And not only that, man, it's like you're going to learn a valuable lesson in life with that also, you know. A lot of the older senseis, like I said, my sensei, man, anything that he needed until he passed away, myself and another friend of mine, Michael, you know, we tried to make sure that he got it, had it, did for him, cared for him, and things like that. And, you know, that says a lot about you. You know, it's not that you can't accomplish the things you want to accomplish out there. You still can. But there's also room to help the ones in that dojo to grow and for you to become better also. You know, I didn't take up martial arts just to be the greatest of all times. I took up martial arts to be the best me of all times.
Right.
And whatever that entailed, whatever came along with that, whoever I influenced to be better, hopefully I did influence some people, and they got better. They listened to me. They believed in what I was telling them. You know, hopefully that did play a part into that life. But I've seen that with yourself, you have helped so many people, and you brought so many people into the arts, and you make them aware of how good they are and how much potential. That's playing it forward to me. It's not taking a back seat, you know. And now here you're willing to go even farther and continue that, you know. In this part, you're somebody like me. We retired. Right. We could be just out there with a fishing pole.
Right.
You know what? Forgetting about all that. But yet we choose to do what? Go into the dojo and sweat and try to get better. And I think if you do that, you're going to get the reward, not only mentally, physically, but also financially.
Yeah.
You know, things will come in to help you. You can do seminars. You can do, you know, different training sections. You can, you know, your name get out there really well. You can even go into aspect and start doing tournaments and promoting the martial arts on a different level with those different tournaments we have and things like that. And things just will grow. So, you know, it's a good idea to stick with what they used to say to me, dance with the one you brought to the dance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't you get to the dance, you see another good looking one out there and go, hey, I want a hell, you know.
Yeah.
I've had students train with me that once they learned or they thought they learned everything and they another instructor come along with some flash and dash, they would go there, but they would burn out quick. They would end up burning out. You know what I mean? Because right. it was a lot of bells and whistles and glitter, but it wasn't gold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That kind of a thing like that. So thank you very much, Dave. I mean, is there anything or any parting words you'd like to give out to any listener out there?
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me. And if you're out there and you're looking to get into a school, I encourage you to do that. There's nothing better than me, martial arts, learning and learning it well and living that lifestyle. But if you just want to train, that's good too, for your health, whatever. Learn a few things, defend yourself. Either way, whatever the reason is, look into it, find a school. If not, come down to our school and come in and train and see what we have to offer. And wish everybody the best. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. And well, thank you very much. It's been very well rewarding having you on here today. And again, I would like to say, you know, this is Hunchy Henry Graves of Henry Graves Martial Art Academy. We're located at 2345 East Michigan on the corner of Michigan and Bombay in Orlando. We specialize in after school. We're one of the number one after school karate programs in the area. Please come on down and see us. We also do women's self-defense. We have things for children. We work with children with special needs. We're just all-around martial art academy. We teach Bando. We teach Kabuto. We teach different arts to help round our students. But primarily, we like to put the umbrella under the Shotokan, and we move forward with that. Again, thank you for your time. Domo, Haigato, Gozaimasu. Us, everybody. Us.